Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Diddly diddly indeed.
Lads, we're recording this here in Grady's yard. It's actually just myself and the lovely Sonia Noron tonight. Oh. Here in Grady's yard, looking at a medieval wall of Waterford in front of a few tanks and kettles that'll be brewing beer soon. And Sonia, I don't think you saw it during the week, but Alan Partridge singing All Your A songs in a fictional character, Martin Brennan.
Sorry, I can't say that I caught that at all.
I'll show you the video on Twitter in a bit. I could possibly have watched it 700 times. Given other political events tonight, I could go on a rant, but I won't. I've composed
just
myself.
Calming him down.
Anyone that's friends with me on Facebook will have seen I put a highly provocative, colourfully toned Facebook status up tonight. But enough of that, moving on with this newscast here tonight.
Yep.
So people might notice it's been 2 weeks since we brought out an episode. In the intervening time period, I've been busy, Owen's been busy. So we just usually we're a bit better organised and we end up getting something out, but we got none out last week. So apologies for that. Thanks for tuning into this one. And I'll do a bit of housekeeping, Sonia, before we get into the episode.
Please do.
Let you have another little supplementy or ginny in there. And look, yeah, exciting times ahead for the Snowcast. We've got a couple of things lined up. First things first, we are hoping to finally launch the YouTube channel in the next couple of weeks. And I can officially say it now because we've got the green light to go and we've had the chat to them. So Ardkeen Grocers in Waterford, who have an amazing off-license section, are going to facilitate us recording videos there. Basically, we're going to do a special episode there once a month on YouTube exclusively. That's going to be Beer of the Month, Spirit of the Month, and we're going to have an Ardkeen Selects as well. We're going to get the experts in Ardkeen to highlight a drink that they think is really fun. And actually, Julie, who has been instrumental in setting this up in Ardkeen, so thanks a million, Julie, has actually picked out a really niche and special product for Ardkeen's first pick of the month. So I actually had a chat with her over lunch, at lunchtime there yesterday, and we had a quick chat about what we'd put on the show. So I really look forward to that.
That's going
to
be amazing.
So Julie's going to be instrumental in the background there. She's putting a few bits together for us, and she's emailed me on a few bits as well. So that's really, really interesting. Also, Sonia, we've been chatting. We're going to do a Snowcast blog as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring out one a week. You're going to bring out the odd occasional one as well.
We're
brainstorming at the moment. That's coming down the line. I'll have my first blog out next week. More of that to come on social media. If you listen to the podcast and you don't follow us on social media, be sure to like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/snugcast. Follow us on Twitter. It's again, Snugcast is the Twitter handle, and Instagram, Snugcast is also the Instagram handle. So let's move on to the show, Sonia. And as ever, the first section of the night is, what are you drinking tonight?
So I'm such a huge fan. I think any time I've been on this, the only thing I've ever been drinking is Ash's amazing gin fusion or spirit infusions that she does here. So I love my gin. I have loved it since I was 17, and people used to make fun of me and call me an 80-year-old woman for drinking them. But she has such a knack for mixing flavors and types of gin, and tonight she has one called Gin and Barrett. Love the name. So good.
Gin and Barrett for the Irish fans there.
Oh, could you not hear?
No, actually, you pronounce it funny.
Did I?
Yeah, yeah.
It's my accent.
Barrett, you said, which sounds like a phonetic pronunciation
Barrett.
Of beret.
Yeah, it kind of does. It's the thin gin, the pink thin gin, mixed, infused with oranges and raspberry, and it's fab. And she tops it up with a bit of 7-Up there as well. But now I've had about 3 of those, and I'm just kind of going for the straight old, straight up gin and tonic now. It's yum. Yummy well.
We also had to have an espresso before we came on to wake us up a bit, because
we actually had
a feast here tonight. So Tom, the new head chef here actually in Grady's Yard, is going to come on with us at some stage and have a chat about creating menus at some stage as well. So that's another thing to look forward to in the Snowcast, how he creates the menus. But tonight, I actually, for the first time on the Snowcast, Sonia, what have you eaten tonight?
Oh, good one! Nachos. Mexican food is my favorite food in the world, so anytime I have an opportunity to try someone's take on nachos, I will. So, unreal nachos here, probably the top 3 best nachos I've ever had in my life, including when I've gone to Mexico.
That's high praise.
Really, really good. They do chili beef nachos here, and I think they did have pulled pork nachos once as well, didn't they?
They did, but it's not on the menu this week.
Hopefully they'll put it on it, because I really want to try it. But the chili beef nachos, unbelievable. Yeah. They're just super, super high, loaded with tons of guac and salsa, everything freshly made. Chili was so good. Yeah, it was delish and really filling.
Yeah, it's my first time being in here, and actually, it's my first time being in here since they've done the extended menu that they've been serving food. So I've been in here late, a couple of nights since, and the food hasn't been served. I've been in here, they serve the food Thursday to Sunday. I've been in here on a Tuesday as well. But I was looking at the menu, like, obviously you want to try chicken wings everywhere you go. I didn't get the chicken wings. I had nachos starch, shared it with my dad. Shout out to dad, who was unfortunately on the road back to Cork with my mum. They couldn't come on tonight. So dad's on the road back to Cork after we shared nacho. And myself and dad actually had the same main as well.
Yeah.
I'm basically the same person as my dad.
It's true.
We had a satay chicken burger.
Yeah. I didn't have the burger, but oh my God, the sauce. Everything, it smelled so good.
Now, I have toyed with the idea of a burger blog for years, where I was going to go around eating a burger, anywhere I had a burger, write a blog describing it, my opinion of it. I'm not a fucking food critic or any authority, but I love a burger. The Saturday chicken burgers, like, definitely 100% best chicken burger I've ever had. And there are some serious good chicken burgers, and actually very underrated chicken burgers in the Cove Bar that we have rarely recorded in Snowcast out of, but very frequently enjoyed a Guinness out of and shared it on Snowcast social media. Cove Bar is brilliant. Do a great chicken burger. The satay chicken burger here.
Oh my God.
That peanut butter mayo.
That was the best thing. Probably one of the best things I've ever tasted.
Oh my God, Tom, you're a fucking genius. Yeah. That was amazing.
It was so good.
And even the real rustic fries with it as well was. I'm actually salivating. If I wasn't so full, I'd be, well, and they were still serving food, I'd be going again. As for drinks, I'm on the Northern Monk Brewery, which I believe is out of York in England, which actually ties in very very nicely with a podcast I've been absolutely hooked on this week.
Oh yeah,
I'll come back to that in a minute. Northern Monk Brewery, which I believe is out of Leeds in Yorkshire, I think. I could be mistaken, and I'm fairly certain it is. And I'm having their Mosaic, which is I've a lovely fruity ale. It's only 3%, which for me, I'm usually north of 5% when I'm drinking in here. But it's only 3%. But like, look, we're out at what time? We're out at 7 o'clock. So,
Jesus, it's not even 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
yet.
We're recording this at 9:30. Like, out early tonight, so really sessionable. You could drink it all night. Recommended to me by the fantastic Michal here in Grady's Yard as well. And it's funny, actually, both my parents are marked on the friendliness of the staff here.
Yeah,
first time being in here.
Definitely.
The lads are great. So big shout out to them. Always get a great welcome here in Grady's Yard. Big fan of it. So Northern Monk Mosaic, 3%, very sessionable, really easy to go down. And if you're out early and you want to go on the beer for the whole night, 3% Mosaic is definitely the way to go. I had a little bit of a heartbreak there when I came in first, though.
Yeah.
I ordered a Grand Parade and Michal said it's finished.
It's finished.
And that's
part of the beauty of these collaborations that they do. Grand Parade was a collaboration with the Rising Suns Brewery in Cork did with Yellow Belly here, and it was a once-off, and they had a keg of it kept back. I had some here on Monday, Sonia. Actually, we met up on Monday for a couple of drinks and had a lovely chat.
Yep.
Lovely catch-up, because we hadn't seen each other since we recorded with Paul, actually. It was probably the last time with Paul and Simon. And that was probably the last time we'd seen each other before Monday.
Yeah.
Came in here, and we both had a couple of pints of Grand Parade, actually. You drank beer.
I drank beer. I had this weird craving for beer. I'm not a beer drinker. I have tried multiple times to attempt to give it keep an open mind and to like it, but it's not my thing. But I came in on Monday, and was it you? Was it Grady's? I don't know. I was just like, give me the pint. I had it. I had 2 pints.
You had 3 pints.
And it was lovely. It was so nice.
It was absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, it was really good. But that would only happen to me once in a blue.
Rarely.
But I really enjoyed it.
But really, really enjoyed that. So that was a brilliant collaboration. The beauty of them is, right, it's a bit bittersweet when they're gone. When they're gone, they're gone. But to enjoy them, you would get to enjoy them otherwise, because it's not something that they're going to regularly produce.
But I wonder, like, Micheál said, when it's gone, it's gone. But if it was popular, do you think they'd maybe bring it back for another go?
That's what they've done with Where's Wallonia,
yeah.
Their current saison, where they brewed that a couple of years ago, brought it out, and it was a big hit. And they went back and brewed another batch of it late last year, and they released it there now in can and keg form. I said it on this podcast a few weeks ago, I wasn't a biggest fan of Where's Wallonia, but that's just my taste. It's hugely popular. Hugely popular saison. It's really, really nice. So I'm an order monk, Sonia's on the gin, and we're going to be some really interesting things to talk about. But first, a word from our sponsors. This week's episode is sponsored by Flexible Friend Contraceptive Devices. If you want to make love to that special person in your life but not conceive a child, go to your local pharmacy and purchase your Flexible Friend.
Remember, wrap your whacker before you attack her.
Don't be a fool, protect your tool. Don't be silly, wrap up your willy. Bring your Flexible Friend everywhere you go. Right, Sonia, thanks to our sponsors there this week for that wonderful segment. Thanks a million, and thanks everyone for listening to the show. Now, moving on with Snowcast Tonight. And Sonia, earlier on we were talking about just various things like diaries, pen friends, various topics like that. And you had a thrilling insight into the Sonia's early days in Ireland.
Oh my God, it wasn't that thrilling, but we were talking, well, I guess it also kind of started with a story I had. I got asked out on by this 24-year-old chap in Dun Stores yesterday, but
shout out to Dearman.
God, I really hope he doesn't listen. But we started kind of talking about, you know, back in the day, our younger years, being wild and free and all the nonsense we got up to, but it kind of started coming about journaling and blogging, and I kind of said, I wish I had chronicled my college years, and not just like the dating stuff, but everything, like the parties and the experiences and just even the day-to-day lectures and everything. I wish I had done it. And multiple people had said to me, you know, why didn't you write something, like do a blog or whatever. So I thought about maybe doing a retrospective thing where I go back when I landed here when I was 17.
A memoir,
exactly, that's the word. But like, so much of what was great about it were like the little tiny
spontaneity.
Yes. And you can't recreate that on retrospect. Like, you just can't. I wish that I had sat down every night and just had like made a little small note of those. Of those great little bits and bobs. I don't think it would be the same trying to go back and remember those bits and bobs now.
Do you think, like, given certain circumstances, like things might come to you now that you would not just have recall on, and then you'd be able to just like jot it down and
absolutely
expand on it.
But it's also the frame of mind that you're in when you're 18 versus, like, I'm 32 now. Like, a different frame of thought, a different spin on things when you're telling a story, a different opinion on what happened then when I was experiencing it versus now when I think about it. I just have a completely, certain things, I just have a completely different opinion and frame of mind on it. It won't be the same.
Yeah,
it just
sure. won't be the poor same. Poor Dermot, if you mentioned 10 years ago, you'd have straddled him.
Absolutely.
But listen, no. The thing is, like, I think it's great to discuss these things on chat about, you know, your younger years and bits like that. But stuff does come to you. And even on Monday when we were here, like, we were chatting about things from both of our past before we knew each other that, like, I probably hadn't thought of since that time.
Yeah.
So having these conversations with your close friends does bring that out of you.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it'd be great if you wrote a memoir, and I definitely would ghostwrite it for you.
I don't know if I would. I would probably share it with my nearest and dearest.
So,
but
I think what we should do is, me and you should go drink it fairly frequently, and we should record chats that we have, and then I'll ghostwrite something for you, and then you read it, see if it's any good, and then we
let's fucking do it. Let's do it.
Any excuse to go drinking with you? I've had, so twice in my life I've decided I'm going to write a novel.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Twice in my life I decided to write a novel. And once was when I was living in a tower in Cork, and I had 2 weeks off in a row and I wasn't going anywhere.
How old were you?
23.
Okay.
23, 24. And I was like, fuck it. I felt I was imaginative enough. Mm-hmm. I felt I had the skills to do it. Mm-hmm. And I felt, so I went into Easons in Cork, bought a Filofax kind of thing.
Amazing.
Some paper, a good pen.
Wow, that's real old school.
Yeah, went upstairs in Easons to the coffee shop, sat at the window overlooking the pedestrians down on the Patrick Street. It was actually Upper Lane, I'd say. Oh, no, it's not Upper Lane. One of the lanes, anyway, coming off Patrick Street. And I was there and I was getting creative and I was coming up with my like plot and I was planning it out. And the thing about it is, I had 2 weeks off work. How long do you think it took J.R.R. Tolkien to write The Lord of the Rings? Like, he didn't write it in 2 weeks.
No, he didn't.
And that's kind of the crossroads I came across. So that was one of the times I sat down. And because I think there is great catharsis in writing.
That's the big thing. Like, my mom, when me and my sister growing up, you know, when you're an angsty teenager. And, like, my parents got divorced when I was 13. So it was right at the height of, you know, your teenage years.
Hormones,
starting,
et cetera, yeah.
Yeah, starting high school. And so there's just so much going on. So my mom really encouraged me to start journaling. So she bought me a journal and I just went to town. But like the way that I was taught to journal, it was like the things that you're upset about, the things that you're, you know, yeah, depressed about, the negative things, write those down, get them out on paper. So I actually recently, well, maybe it was when I had decided to move home a couple years ago, I went home to my dad. My stuff is all stored at my dad's house in Canada, so he asked me to kind of go through it all and figure out what I wanted to move into my new house that I bought at the time in Canada. And I came across my old journals. And I actually couldn't even make it past, like, the fifth page. Yeah. They were so fucking depressing.
Intense,
they were insane and really over the top.
But and that's a teenager, though, isn't
but
it?
That is, yeah, that is, and I couldn't believe that it was me that I had written all. Like, it was just horrendous. And then, like, so, in that kind of sense, it just really, really put me off reading any of my other journals again. I didn't, because it was just all so depressing. Like, there was nothing positive about it in any of the journals. So I really wish that I had written the good down with the bad, because now there's such a negative emphasis for me when it comes to journaling until recently. So in the past couple months, I have decided to start journaling again for various reasons. But this time it's very much like day to day, not chronicling my life because, it's not that exciting, but
I don't know.
That much of a
some of the stories you have for me, like
okay,
being chatted up in a butter aisle and stuff like that.
And like it's a lot more positive. But I think that also has to do with, you know, your frame of mind, where you are in your life. But also, I'm just a lot more conscientious about making sure that you document the positive instead of just the negative. That, you know, there is a lot of catharsis in seeing the good stuff down on paper as well. That being able to recall it and write it down, there is there's research that even shows that not just writing down the negative and getting those, you know, feelings out, but that getting the positive down there as well is incredibly, exactly, it's incredibly important.
In your day, yeah.
Absolutely. So I started doing that, and to be honest, it's brilliant. But it'll be great to find these journals now in 10 years' time, and I'll either laugh or cry at myself. Like, I absolutely laughed in a very, like, oh my God, Sonia, you absolute sap for being this much of a drama queen when you were 13 years old. But
to be honest with you, like, when I was 13, I was probably listening to James Blunt, like, you know, so, like, we were all drama queens when we were 13, to
oh
be honest.
God.
Yeah. No.
It's true.
I completely agree with you. Like, the other time that I decided I wanted to write a novel was around the time that I was moving to Waterford. And so my life was full of change at the time. I'd just gone through a breakup and was very much needing a fresh start, which Waterford was.
Mm-hmm.
But also thought, like, I have this thing that I have a book in me. But as I mature, I realise it's not a novel, it's not fiction or anything like, or not science fiction or anything like that. But I definitely think I could write a book. And this is where the, I suppose, for me, the driver between Snowcast Blog is, is that if I was to do a blog like that, so basically, I said it to you, and this is what I envisage my articles on the Snowcast Blog, because it's going to be open to a few different people that I want to contribute towards it.
Yeah.
I haven't discussed any of this with Owen either. Like, so Owen, if you're listening, you know, we're doing a blog now. So, like, I've asked you to be involved. I've asked Niamh to be involved, and she's thinking about it as well. And there's a few other people that I'd like to really be interested in seeing what they write down and come up with and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for me, I think I'd love to reflect on my week through the prism of an owlad sitting on a high stool in a pub and what his take on what I've experienced in that week would be. So, go on.
I think you'd be amazing at that.
I just think
your insight into what that, or your version of what that would look like, would be incredibly insightful and probably shockingly, well, maybe not shockingly, wise.
Yeah, I'm trying not to do it through my initial emotional reaction at the time either, like, because I'm trying to remove myself from it as much as you can possibly can. There's going to be heavy bias
but
in it.
But I wouldn't remove yourself too much from it,
no,
because like, part of the charm of that would be you. It would be you.
Hmm.
Your version of it through an old lad's.
So the thing is, like, some people who've had the biggest influence in my life, I suppose three of the male characters that have the biggest influence in my life would be both my grandfathers and my granduncle John in Tullaher, my granddad Morris, and my granddad Harry.
Yeah.
And I would have spent a good bit of my youth with, like, I used to go playing pitch and putt with my grandfather Harry, and we'd go for a pint with him and his friend Owen afterwards, and I'd have a 7-up and I'd be sitting up on a high stool with them, and just...
Aww.
I suppose their banter to and fro is kind of their senses of humour and stuff. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Similar with Uncle John, you go to the parish pump and you sit in a high stool and just lads around the bar slagging each other off.
But even like when we lived together and you'd come home from an evening with Uncle John after seeing him, I loved listening to your replay of what you did that night and the little stories that they told and the little anecdotes. Like, they were brilliant. And you have a way with words, so.
Well,
great to see what you come up with.
That's where I inherited from. And then my granddad Morris, who I've very rarely been in a pub with, but I've sat in front of the fire and had a can or a whiskey with him and watched documentaries, watched informative shows, and he's given his take.
Yeah.
And he's really well learned. He was a policeman during the Troubles and stuff like that.
Wow.
So he's great insight. He's a great understanding of life. So fascinating insight and stuff. So I'd be trying to basically channel them into a vlog, which I think would be fascinating. And I'm not doing it for me. I'm not doing it for anyone else. I'm doing it for me more than anyone else.
Yeah.
But I just think it would be very cathartic to write it all down.
Yeah.
And it brings me back around to my whole sense of thinking of the people who've influenced me, because this week I watched Afterlife on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
So the Ricky Gervais series. And I don't like Ricky Gervais as an actor before this. He wrote The Office and The US Office, but The US Office, we both adore it.
Oh, my God. Top three favourite TV shows of all time. Amazing.
But Afterlife could possibly be my favourite TV show of all time after watching it.
Would I be correct in saying that this is very much like almost a complete opposite to what he normally plays in character and like what he normally would do from a show or movie point of view?
So to give you just the background without giving anything away.
Yeah, yeah.
His wife has just recently passed away from breast cancer.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah,
I saw this thingy for it on Netflix.
The trailer,
yeah.
So his wife has recently passed away from breast cancer. And when I saw it was Ricky Gervais, it turned me off it. I'm not going to lie. But let me just say, Stephanie have sat down and everyone was raving about it, like, and said, fuck it, it must be decent.
Yeah.
Put it on.
Really?
My God. Like,
I've cried twice ever watching something. One was the Ayrton Senna documentary, because again, Ayrton Senna was a race car driver in the 90s that died, and he was my father's sporting hero. So I grew up with a lot of Formula 1, so I was emotionally invested in Ayrton Senna, and when I saw the documentary, it brought a tear to my eye. And the other was Toy Story 3, the ending. Ever since I saw it in the cinema and cried, I've never watched the ending.
Oh my God, Jesus.
Yeah. So
I can safely say I cry at almost everything I watch.
There's a scene where he has these video recordings that he's done, and he's watching them back throughout the series. Aww. And there's one where he gives his wife a puppy, and I didn't cry.
I don't know if we should talk about this.
Fuck me, all like close. So right, it's very emotional, but at the same time too, he's a prick to everyone in it because he's grieving, and he calls like children cunts in it. Like it's, but it's done in this black humorous genius way that is possibly like you're gripped by it.
Oh my God, I'm gonna start it so tomorrow.
You have to watch it. You love it. So Afterlife, guys, highly recommend it. And like, I suppose that's the thing. I was going to write a blog this week, but I said no, fuck it. We'll talk about it in the podcast, podcast, and then I'll bring the blog out after that. Also that, and the fact that it's a Saturday, I usually don't go out the weekend, so I usually catch up with Snowcast stuff over the weekend. So I'm like, right, I'll fucking promote it next week, even though I have a wedding and a stag party next weekend in Clarny.
So we'll fucking catch up
with it. But the whole thing I was saying was, like, people that influenced you, I was saying, I'd fucking love to give a pub view of Afterlife, a pub view of Ricky Gervais, and just but done through the prism of that quick one-liners, turn of phrases in a written word.
Also, I think it's such a good thing to be giving kind of a good look at what grief looks like through the eyes of, you know, different situations. Super healthy. It's all around us, you know. Everyone experiences it at some stage in their life, unfortunately, and it's not something that's talked about a lot. It's not something that people are comfortable with, and I understand that completely. It's not a comfortable subject, but how great is it to have someone, you know, put out a show that very rawly, from the sounds of things, shows you what grief can look like in its various forms. Like, there's so many different forms. It's not just about being sad. Anger is very much a part of it, and it sounds like he kind of shows you that.
And rightly so, we focus in modern society an awful lot on the patient and treating them and treating their psyche and stuff like that. But the family afterwards are always forgotten about. In the healthcare setting, like, it's always, right, that person unfortunately has passed away from cancer, so we move on. There's, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people to take on the workload after that.
Yeah.
And it's the impact that leaves on the family. So I think it's very important. I think it'll be cathartic for me. It's purely for me, my aspect of the blog. I can't wait to see what you come up with, because I we're not just going morbid on this, we're going fucking deep as well. Because I was thinking, right, there's three things I wanted to write about this week that I'll follow up on next week, and I will write a little column about. We'll post on the blog and put up on all the social medias. Afterlife is definitely one of them. I want to give my take on it without giving any spoilers about it. Brexit's another one, because it's fucked.
Yeah.
And without getting into a Brexit rant, which I am very prone to doing,
30 seconds, go.
Right, I really want to do a little bit on Brexit and ridicule it through the eyes of the pub. That's it. I'm not going to say any more. I tweeted enough about it on my personal Twitter this week and started slagging off people, so that's it. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was Alan Partridge.
Oh yeah.
So he's an English comedian with Irish heritage, and he did a piece on BBC this week where he basically sang RRA tunes as an Irish lad who was resembling himself, but he was acting as the Irish lad, and it was possibly the greatest piece of comedy I've ever seen.
Really?
Yet it enraged a couple of unionists, and I thought it was hilarious. And I'm not going to get into geopolitical war and stuff like this, but fuck me, it's so funny.
Really?
I actually went on Twitter and searched Partridge IRA or Partridge Ireland this morning as I was lying in bed. And when you wake up and you have that on a weekend, and you're like, I have a fucking couple of hours, I can look up stuff on Twitter.
Yes.
I did a search, and actually some people thought he was taking the piss out of Ireland with it, and I thought, this is hilarious. He's completely satirically taking the piss out of imperialism, and he's actually indirectly slagging off Brexit to a whole new degree. And I won't get into too much of it because I want to do it on the blog, but I just thought it was hilarious. So I think if you haven't seen Alan Partridge's skit yet, and look, Alan Partridge is something that I never really invested in, I never really watched that much, but fuck me, it was hilarious.
I used to watch him a lot in first year because I only had 3 channels in my TV in my dorm, and he used to come on one of them.
And you probably couldn't understand
the I literally was about to say that. I couldn't understand half the stuff. I would, and I haven't watched him since, but I'd say if I watched it now, I would be. I'm going to look that up.
So basically, like, these are the kind of things that have influenced me throughout the week. Mm. And I think coming back to you chronicling and journaling throughout college or throughout your teenage years and not continuing it on, and now it's a regret of yours.
It totally is.
I think that a blog is a fantastic way for both of us to go forward and put our things on. And we can do it through humour, satire. It like, the beauty of it is we'll have ownership of it. And I hope I hope the listeners read it, and I hope we get a bit of readership and stuff like that. But if we don't, who gives a fuck? It'll be cathartic for us.
Great.
And this leads me on to something else I wanted to ask you about, Son.
Mm-hmm.
So, recently, this week, another thing that has heavily influenced me is I've come across for the first time, and I can't believe this is the first time I've come across it, because this podcast has so many subscribers, and I love Irish history.
Yeah.
There's an Irish history podcast called the Irish History Podcast.
Yeah.
It's been going 9 years.
9 years?
I never came across it until Thursday, and I saw a girl, Kira Kenny, who I went to college with, who actually has a serious Twitter following. She's like about 12,000 Twitter followers, because she is a satirical artist now. She's brilliant. She's on a Brexit piece that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And she retweeted one of it, because I actually think she did a voiceover or something on it. I heard her Twitter handle being mentioned on one of the recent.
12,000?
Yeah.
Shit.
I've barely got 12.
I can handle 2 social media things and like that's it. It's just too much.
So Kira retweeted this thing and it was the Irish History Podcast, an episode about Peg Sears. So I said, I'm going to have a listen to this because, right, we're going 9 years.
Wow. Where does it start?
So, this is the thing. They did a 2-episode special on Peg Sears, who you'll know nothing about, I presume. Have you ever heard of Peg Sears?
This podcast is perfect for me.
Right. So you've never heard of Peg Sears?
No, never.
So Peg Sears was born in Kerry and got married to a chap from the Blasket Island, which is a big, huge island off the coast of Kerry.
Okay.
The Blasket Island in the early 20th century had to be evacuated because they couldn't self-sustain anymore.
God.
Because of aging population, etc.
Right.
So there's a 2-part special on Peg Sears, this woman. And she didn't write it. Someone else wrote it for her, but she basically chronicled her life. And it was amazing. So again, it comes back to the chronicling and the journaling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I found out this for the first time. And basically, I went back to the first podcast. So on it was first uploaded to Podcast Addict 6 years ago. So I'm 6 years behind now on podcasts, but I'm going to listen to them all because it's...
I'm going to start it as well. I'm very embarrassed to say, after almost 14 years of listening or of living in this country, I have very little knowledge of Irish history. Like, you have taught me loads over the years. My best friend who lives in Australia, Anna, has taught me tons. And I know loads of great, like, folklore stories, but I don't know a lot. And people at home always ask me about various things. And, like, in Canada, when we do social studies, which is history, essentially, and the only thing we are ever taught about Ireland is, guess, the Irish potato famine. Because loads of people came over to Canada.
And the fact that Canada's a Commonwealth, I presume you weren't taught the full history behind it.
Of course we weren't.
The fact that there was loads of grain and corn and everything still going in Ireland, but it was shipped off to Britain.
Had no idea.
Exactly. So, the first episode is based around 450. And it's based around the barbarians in Ireland and how that phrase originated. So there's loads of little gems in here. How the phrase barbarian came about. And it goes through place names in Ireland, right? So people who speak Irish, like myself, would have an understanding of the translation of the place name.
Yeah.
So Donegal, Doon and Owl. So the Irish translation means something completely different. So Tyrone, the Irish that is Tyrone, which means Owen's country.
I knew that. It's only because Anna lives there. Well, that's Kerry County.
Donegal, Doon and Owl, right?
Yeah.
The original name for Donegal is Tyrconnell.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyrone, mm-hmm. Donegal was Tyrconnell. So that was Conal's country.
Like,
so it's just, and that goes all the way back. That goes 1400 years back.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle now. I'm at the end of the Viking Age in Ireland, just coming to Brian Boru.
Brian Boru.
Yeah. So I've gone through all this, like 10, 12 episodes. So I actually tweeted Fionn, the guy who does the Irish History podcast.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can come together. He lives in Kilkenny. So I must email him in the next week and we'll try and get him on a Snogcast.
I'm going to start listening to this on my trip to work.
Oh my God, Sonia, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And he goes through in detail how, like, you know, how even Irish surnames have come about. So the O'Neill surname, even though the O'Neills were great chieftains and high kings in Ireland way back in the day, the actual surname O'Neill didn't come about until later on and stuff like that.
Oh, I love all of this.
Gets into
so
real
awesome.
Stuff about an adventure. So history, which, let's be honest, is incredibly important.
So important.
Like, I am intrinsically Irish. I go on about my Irishness an awful lot.
Which is great.
My mother's maiden name is Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
My father's parents' name are Walsh and Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
So Walsh means Welsh. Hamilton is a Scottish surname and Quinn is a Norman surname.
Whoa.
So
that's loads happening there.
So Colin or Coughlin in these parts, mm-hmm. Is my grandmother's surname, Kitty. And so that's the only original Irish surname I have. So I'm at most 25% Irish in genealogy.
Wow.
So there's so much to learn from listening to these kind of podcasts. So Irish History Podcast, really highly recommend it.
That's so cool.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
I love it.
Really enjoying it. I think I've listened to about 14 podcasts in 2 days.
But like, this is why history is so great. But where did all of this information come from? It came from people journaling and chronicling.
That's a brilliant segue. She's closing the loop. She's getting used to being on a podcast.
I'm learning, by the way. But that's what's amazing about history. And like, that's why we have such knowledge and access to it now, is because of all the books and the journals that were written back in the day. And like, and I think that's, we're losing it. We're losing that with technology.
So I was just about to ask you this, right? So the Snogcast, in a sense, is a chronicling of shy talk in the pub.
Yeah, which could be gone in a second.
But that's what I'm saying, right? So all this is there. And I've had this lovely talk where, you know, I have voicemails saved from my grandparents.
Yeah.
Where they leave a voicemail, I save it. Because I can listen back to it now.
So do I.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But for example, right, Snogcast is saved on a cloud and stored on the internet somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Say in 100 years' time, the Book of Kells, the annals of the four islands or whatever the fuck it is, all of these annals that are written in text, they're physical copies.
Yeah.
What if in 100 years' time there's a digital meltdown?
Exactly.
Snogcast is gone forever.
Not even 100 each. What if like next year? Like, it is so possible.
Oh yeah.
At any stage now.
Yeah. I mean, and grand, like, I suppose the same argument can be made to say, like, now you can burn paper.
Yeah.
But look, these texts exist and it's fantastic to have them. And I just think it's a fascinating thing.
It is.
It's fascinating to me that, like, the digital aid is fantastic, but at the same time too, how vulnerable is it? We assume it's not vulnerable at all. It's going
it
to be
is vulnerable. You made a very good point there that, yeah, you can burn paper as well, but like, it's the accessibility of the virtual, like the digital age, that makes it so appealing as well. You sit there, you open your laptop, everything is in one place. You don't have to shelf your book. You don't have to continue. It's all there, instant access all the time. And I think in a world where we're so digitally clicked in, everyone has a phone, everyone, it's just there all the time. People find it more convenient. But isn't there something wonderful about getting your book, pulling it out, sitting there and flicking through the pages? And like, that's something me and my sister talk about a lot. And like, I'd be very much the digital argument and she'd be very much the, you know, physical book journal argument of these things. Like, she's been a bookworm her whole life.
Yeah.
And she has such a huge, amazing collection of books. And I wanted to get her a Kindle 1 year. And she absolutely point blank refused. And she was like, no, I don't want a Kindle. And I said, why not? It's so convenient. You have hundreds of books. She's like, but I want to be able to pull a book off my shelf. I want to be able to hold it and touch it and smell it and flip the pages. And I want to be able to have a collection, a library, that years and years and years could go by and I would be able to hand it down and hand it down and hand it down. And to me, that felt like such an old notion.
And we saw a video of her new house today.
Oh,
and
yeah, we did.
She has shelves that she can
Yay.
Have a library. fair play, Jasha. No, I actually think, so Harvard did a study in this, and I came across this study through teacher Marshall McGowan, which means Mr. Smith,
mm-hmm.
in secondary school. He alluded to me because when we were in secondary school, when I was doing my Leaving Cert in 2008, computers were still fairly new age in terms of the routine day-to-day use of them. And with the internet, I'm saying there's so much accessibility, so much stuff to look up, both versus textbooks. And a study in Harvard revealed that humans retain about 20% of stuff that they read off a page. They only retain about 8% of what they take in off a screen.
I'm not surprised. I absolutely believe it.
Yeah.
Like, if I, like, for me, I'm not someone, I was never a reader when I was younger. My sister was always the reader. And then when I got to medical school, it was like, I was reading so fucking much and it was all medical textbooks. I never read for pleasure. I never knew what that was like until I finished medical school and I decided to start reading and, oh my God, obsessed now. Like, I really do love it. And, oh, I just lost my train of thought.
You love reading?
What was it?
You used to like reading, but now you love it.
Now I love reading. I had a major brain fart.
Okay, that's fine. That brings us into the modern era of screens and brain farts.
Oh, yeah. I remember what I was talking about now. When I read a book and I sit there and I read a book off of my laptop, it's so I'm so distracted. I can just click into Google. I can click into my emails. Like, I can't.
And then your phone is buzzing next to
you. Yeah. But laptop's gone. I'm sitting there and I'm reading a book and I have the book in my hand. There's nothing else. It's just, and because you have to concentrate on flipping the page, and it seems like such a trivial thing, but you have the book in your hand, you're flipping the page, you're scanning. There's no kind of intense light in your eye. Like, there's so many little tiny things that are so trivial, that seem so trivial, but actually make a huge collective difference in your ability to concentrate and take in information. So I'm not surprised at all about us retaining so little when we read off of technology.
Speaking of technology and retaining so little of it, and speaking of belittling technology, modern dating. That was a lovely segue.
Worst segue ever.
Okay.
I have no idea how you got to modern. Oh, Tinder, electronics, got it.
Best segue ever.
Best segue ever. Go.
Retract.
Sorry.
So, modern dating. We just talked about you being chatted up earlier. We briefly alluded to you being chatted up and done stores earlier, which actually, do you know, when you told me the story in full detail before we started recording, I thought it was actually quite sweet and quite brave of a modern 24-year-old to actually approach a woman.
So brave. And it was so brave. And I was so impressed. So impressed. And we ended up
in like an auntie kind of way.
In like a, I'm just gonna, let's just see what you got here, kid, kind of a way. And I'm not trying to sound condescending or like a bitch, but it was so sweet. And I was so chuffed.
I imagine, like, I haven't been single for 3 years now. I don't know how long.
Hi, Niamh.
I don't even know what year we have. I haven't been single in a while now, so modern dating, even when I was single, like, I set up a Tinder profile but hated it after like a week, after like not even 2 days. So I think I'm probably the last of a generation that you had to like meet a girl, have a chat with her, there had to be a bit of chemistry, and then only then were you interested, whereas now,
oh my God, so
like, as the most eligible bachelorette in Waterford,
oh God, what's your take on that? So I'm a little bit old school when it comes to dating, and I think I've always been like this. So my dad always used to tell us these amazing stories about his university days, but I was never a Tinder bumble. I never did any of that. I find it so false and such, it's just so not my thing.
I remember the week you had Tinder when we lived together, and
it was
fucking
just fucking horrendous. My girlfriends were so adamant that I at least try it, but it just so goes against all of my principles when it comes to dating, and goes against all the things that I absolutely love about dating, that I just refuse to do it because I know I wouldn't like it. And they were like, oh, Sonia, like, you have to give it a chance, you don't even know if you haven't tried. So I thought, okay, just to appease them, I'm gonna give it a go. Fuck me.
I think you lasted 4 or 5 days,
if that. Like, it was just the worst. It was so falsified. First of all, you're just hiding behind fucking technology. How can you accurately and appropriately vibe off someone over a phone? It's all subjective and about interpretation, and there's so much falseness in that. The best part about dating is seeing someone's reaction to a conversation, reading their body language, them reacting to what you're saying, and vice versa. Like, that's how you know if you're gonna click with someone. So, not over a fucking text. Don't get me started.
I'm gonna tell you how the moment that me and Eve really clicked. Aww. I wanna say this on podcast, I'm gonna put it out there. On our first day, we went to Jeff's for a couple of drinks. Jeff's is a bar. We if like long term listeners, Snowcastle, or her Jeff's in the 12 Snogs. you're new to the podcast, Jeff's is a bar in Waterford. It's an institution, Waterford. Actually,
so great.
Yeah, if you're listening to the Ritual Festival episode as well, we mentioned Jeff's and about the original playing of vinyls there and how it became a music bar, which is actually really interesting. But Jeff's is a really good bar. Actually, I'd say Niamh is actually probably there with her friends right now. We probably meet up with them afterwards. So we were in Jeff's. We were up the back on our own because she was embarrassed to be out with me, I'd say, more than that.
Oh, thanks, God.
And actually, Marie Hartley saw us out and started wolf whistling us, but that's neither here nor there. So we were chatting away. We'd known each other professionally. It was our first date. Nervous enough. Chat, the usual chit-chat.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she says to me, so what kind of music are you into? And I said, my favourite band aren't like, you know, the most popular band in the world, mm-hmm. but I absolutely love them. Belle X1. Mm-hmm. And her face, I'll never forget her facial reaction because they're her favourite band too.
I know.
And it was just this moment, and she wouldn't believe me. And she said, who told you this? Like, she was like, you know.
You're kidding.
So I started singing a Belle X1 song that isn't even on an album. I said, only a true Belle X1 fan knows this song. And I sang a song. Obviously low, not like belting it out like armored cars and tanks and guns, kids take away our sons. Like there wasn't anyone joining the IRA after I sang it like or anything, but and it completely, I suppose, relieves any tension in the date.
That was one of the first things you told me about her.
Yeah.
Is that she loves Bugs. Yeah. Like, son, she loves Bugs One.
And the thing about it is I think on our third or fourth day we booked tickets to Belle X1 in Limerick. That was like 3 or 4 months away, and we were like, if we're still dating, then we'll go to it. If not, not. And obviously we ended up going to the concert and stuff.
Lovely.
But it's just one of them things that, right, if you text down and said, and Tinder and a text message, my favourite band is Belle X1.
The whole aspect of like, what was her, special about that moment is completely lost.
The speciality was me seeing her reaction and the smile and stuff. Not actually us both liking the same band.
Exactly.
Like that's actually quite a two-dimensional aspect of what happened there. It was the connection and stuff that thankfully we haven't lost until now.
But that's what we're like, this is the whole thing why I think these dating apps and this online dating is just so anti, the exact opposite of what dating's about. Because like meeting people, relationships, dating, it's all about connections.
Yeah.
And how do you form a connection over the internet? Like, how do you do that? You can't.
I'll tell you what, right? Anyone listening to this who's single and wants to get dating,
oh my God,
take our lead, go and meet someone and actually have a conversation with them.
100%.
And get out on a date. Because you know what? We had a connection over Belle X1, and the week that this podcast comes out is going to be a year before we get married.
Yay!
So look, I think we've talked enough shit for tonight, to be honest with you. I need to get another pint because my pint glass is empty. Sonia,
me too.
This has been a lovely conversation.
Yeah, it's been lovely.
We should do this more often.
We really should.
We actually said on Monday and it's Saturday that we should do this more often.
It's great.
So guys, listen to the Snowcast, keep an eye out for the blog. Sonia's going to contribute to the blog. Keep an eye out on YouTube, because we're going to do the Arcane Stores monthly YouTube video that is going to not just be me and Owen. We're going to have Sonia on it, we're going to have Simon on it, hopefully we might get a bit Dave on it, hopefully if Dad comes home we get him on one.
Hi Dad.
How are you, Dad?
We miss you.
And we're going to have a rotating series, I guess, on the videos as well. And also, we're going to do a series on YouTube of little documentaries based on a history of pubs that we go to. And not just pubs that we go to, but other pubs around the country as well. And we're going to go and do those little documentaries. And you know what? We don't have a frequency they're going to come out. We don't know how. Obviously, we're editing all this ourselves, full-time jobs. So that's the thing. The other thing I want to do is in the next week or two, I'm going to set up I have a Patreon account set up, but we haven't formalized or anything like that. So if listeners to this podcast would like us to do more or increase the frequency with which we can do videos and stuff like that as well, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, keep an eye on social media and a future podcast. I'll be announcing details of our Patreon account. So if you want to contribute to the Snowcast, the running of the Snowcast, buying equipment, making the equipment better, technology better, so that we can go out, I promise any Patreon donations will be put towards improving the Snowcast, not towards drinks that we drink during the Snowcast. I can guarantee that. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks Sonia for coming on with me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Recording this Saturday, bringing it out Monday. Short turnover. I'm not even going to edit it. I'm just going to put it out there because Sonia's great. And the feedback that we get from Niamh, actually Niamh listened to one of your episodes and said you're better than me and no one combined. So.
Okay, I don't know about that. Thank you, Niamh. I love you.
So guys, thanks so many for listening. This is Snowcast in Grady's Yard. Honestly, lads, can't emphasize how much I appreciate Grady's Yard and everything they do for the Snowcast.
They're amazing.
I'm going to put a picture up on Instagram after I finish this.
Yay.
Of Grady's Yard. where they have a Snorkel sticker and magnet up in one go. And also, actually, before I finish, I just want to say congratulations to Mary Cullen, who won the drinks giveaway on Facebook that I gave away during the week. Actually, Niamh picked the name out of a hat.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. Well, by the say I picked the name out of a hat, I wrote all names down, assigned him a number, and Niamh picked out number 11, which is Mary Cullen. Mary, congratulations. You've won 2 cans of Yellow Belly Passion Fruit Sour, you've won a can of Boyne Valley Vienna Lager, you've won a bottle of Muldoon Whiskey Liqueur, and you've won a bottle of Havana Club Rum.
Oh, shit.
This is the best fucking giveaway we've ever done.
So great.
So, congratulations, Mary Cullen, and enjoy. So, Shane and Snowcast on Shocks and Show, Romina Burke, Steve Glare, Aaron Gabrock.
Au revoir.
Come out, you black and tan. Come out and fight me like a man. GC37.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.